Welcome to The Divine Breadcrumb with your hosts, Carol Campos and Deb Sorensen. Carol and Deb have always believed the universe helps people on their path by sending signs, clues, or what they call divine breadcrumbs. A divine breadcrumb can create both small and massive shifts in a person's life. On this podcast, Carol and Deb will speak with authors, healers, entrepreneurs, and other amazing people across the globe to discuss these pivotal moments. So get ready to learn, to love, and to laugh. And remember, the universe always provides if you allow it to. Enjoy the show.
Hi, everyone. This is Carol.
This is Deb. Welcome back to The Divine Breadcrumb.
So today we have on Jessa Lewis. Jessa is our first guest from Australia. Pause for applause, everyone.
Yay!
And Jessa describes herself as a flow-based organic social media expert. At her company, This Jessa Lewis, she works with entrepreneurs and people growing their empire to help them increase their online presence in their own unique and authentic way. Jessa works with people who are destined to reach millions and are ready to be elevated. Jessa believes that everyone has the potential to amplify their message online and that technical issues should never be the thing that slows you down. She's also working with a local women's outreach program to provide tools of inspiration to young women in need and juggles both her main hustle and side hustle alongside being a mother of two toddlers.
Oh my goodness.
And I first discovered Jessa through the Own Your Hustle podcast and absolutely fell in love with her energy and the information she was providing. And I started following her on social media. And soon after that, we connected and were excited to find out that our missions are in alignment. And I'm not a social media maven by any stretch, but Jessa explains things in a way that's interesting and fun. And she embraces the woo-woo too, which we love.
Yes. Yeah.
And she's also a Veronica Mars fan. So that right there made her a soul sister. So with that, Jessa, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that beautiful introduction. And I didn't know you're a Veronica Mars fan. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, I have been a Veronica. I watched it one night, the pilot, just by accident. There wasn't anything on and I totally fell in love with it. But we'll get to Veronica Mars
outraged,
later.
Outraged when it finished.
Yes, I agree. We'll talk about it in more detail a little bit later on.
If we want to talk about big life traumas, we can touch on that.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, thank you so much for having me on, guys. I'm so excited.
We're really excited. Oh, this is great. This is great. So if you would, could you explain to our listeners what you mean by flow-based organic social media expert?
Yes. So a few years back, I stumbled into the world of social media management and I dived in deep, got thrown in the deep end at a growing company, and I was soon managing all of their social media, a multi-million dollar online company. And I was always focused on the organic side of things. So not ads, basically. So any paid advertising, we had somebody separate in the company that tended to that. And it was never actually like a area of interest for me. I don't find ads necessarily interesting. I definitely think they have their place. And from time to time, I'll certainly throw a few ad dollars around. But what I find fascinating is when you can take a post, an amazing post somebody has written with a soul-led message, and then you can take their potential reach and 10 times it just by tweaking a few things that are available to anyone online with any budget. And a lot of people I know, they're held back by starting their passion projects and launching into their own businesses because they say, I don't have startup capital. I have to run ads. I have to do this. I have to do that. And you don't have to do anything. And you certainly don't have to run ads to actually get reach on different platforms. So that's where I like to show people all of the different things they can do with each platform, and it's different with each platform, and then help them understand and adjust their expectations. Because a lot of people, they'll get defeated if they don't get 100% reach on a post.
Right.
And if you understand the way the platforms actually order posts and people's feeds, that's not even possible. Like, you would be expecting each member of your audience or your following to be sitting there 24 hours a day scrolling through their feed in order to actually see every post that of the people they're connected to and the businesses they follow. So I really like to, yeah, help people adjust those expectations and, like, come back to the core of why they're actually putting it out there, like moving beyond the vanity metrics. And, like, the point is to put your message out there because you've got something amazing to say and to actually reach the people that are destined to hear it. So it's the numbers game is secondary to that. And when I talk about flow-based, it's about working with people's company values and with the authentic way that they want to show up online. So I'm not going to turn around to Carol and say, Carol, you have to be on TikTok because that's trending at the moment. Or you have to be doing this particular type of post because that's what everybody else is doing and because that's getting a lot of traction in this niche or that niche. Like, that doesn't speak to who Carol is as an actual person. Like, we need to have a look inside and be like, well, what does our playful, you know, inner child actually want to do today? And then how can we, you know, how can we take that and help that, like, elevate things in our business? So with me, that's
language.
With me, that's like I'm not going to jump on a live stream and start rapping. Just if I know it would get me attention. I know that would get me a lot of laugh emojis because it would not be good. But I'm not going to do that because I have no desire to. But certainly sometimes I like to sing. I haven't quite got the confidence to sing on a live stream yet. And I like to dance and I like to wear funny headbands and I like to talk about my family as much as my business and my personal interests as much as strategy and my new spiritual findings as much as, like, any new industry insights. And so I weave that all into my online business and then it gives people additional layers that they connect with me on. So I don't just show up and talk about the strategy. I just show up and talk about everything and I just give value constantly. And that's what I aim for. And then I optimize it. I don't think strategy can be boring. I think it can be boring, yes, but I don't think it has to be boring. And I don't think it has to take your soul out of your message. I think your soul has to stay in your message for any strategy, as it were, to even be considered to be working effectively.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, you see some of those posts, usually the sponsored posts, the ads, but even some of the other posts, and it's just so inauthentic, and you can recognize you can recognize that immediately. It's the storytellers that sort of captivate and capture your attention because that's what interests people. They want to hear other people's stories.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I love what you said, Jessa, about there's no have to's. I mean, I think any of us who've been on any of the social media platforms, you have advice coming you from all different directions.
Oh, yes.
And because of the nature of what Deb and I do, and this probably goes for you too, Jessa, when you do anything that has that spiritual element or people think it's too out there, like especially on LinkedIn, I remember in the beginning getting a few comments, you know, as this doesn't really belong on this platform. Well, sorry. Yes, it does. It's a business and I have a message and it's just as valid as anyone else's message.
Yeah, I find LinkedIn fascinating because there's there's definitely the old school players on there who will pipe their heads up. And I warn people before they start, I'd say LinkedIn is definitely somewhere you want to be if you're getting that pull towards it, because the reach is phenomenal on there. Like, it's just so far, you know, you every post you do just gets so much more traction than if you're posting on Facebook or Instagram. And the landscape is definitely going to be changing there, so you should jump on now. But you might get a bit of pushback because there are old school players on there who only like to see, you know, very beige, corporate, dry posts. Exactly. And they will arc up their little heads if they see anything contrary. But the thing is, there's a whole new wave of people on there. And, you know, it's not just, you know, dry old corporate men on there anymore. That's like, yes. You know, years and years ago, that's how it was. You know, now it's you, it's me, it's like
isn't it exciting?
People in our network,
it's really exciting.
It's definitely like professionals. It's so exciting. And they're running businesses, but you know what? They're more than their businesses. Mm-hmm. They've got so many layers, and you've got the opportunity to connect with people about more than just the corporate business.
Absolutely.
Yep, absolutely. Well, and I think part of it also is that as more and more people start these smaller businesses of their own and start growing them, because of the investment that it takes to have your own business, it does incorporate more than just business. It's your life. So it incorporates all of these other things in the business, and that just becomes part of the message.
Yeah, exactly. And I definitely find it's so much easier if I just allow my life and my business to sort of like flow into each other from mm-hmm. time to time. I mean, that's definitely a personal preference. Like, I've never had an issue with talking about my children online or tagging my local coffee shop. You know, maybe come back to me when I've got a million followers and you know, people popping out of the bushes when I live stream.
Yeah.
Definitely at the moment, like it feels so much easier and so much more fun when I don't have a panic attack and delete a live stream if my husband comes early with the kids and they you know, jump on my live stream, which did happen one time. I was trying to like show up and talk about like who I am and what I do, and it was one of my first live streams, and then they literally came home early and like came and just like jumped on my lap. And then I was like, well, yes, I'm a mother as well, as mentioned. This happens. And it allows people to connect with you on so much more than just the value that you're giving to them, because we're humans. We want to see similarities in other people. And some people that follow me, you know, are mothers. And so they get all the stuff I talk about with parenting. Others are, you know, in committed relationships, and, you know, so they get things that I mention about with my husband, or, you know, they're from Australia, or they traveled Europe, or, you know, so many different things, or they're, I don't know, allergic to eggplant, whatever random thing, you've got going on that makes you unique is definitely like not something that you should hide, because there will be little crossovers, and people want to see so much more than just the value and the strategy, if you're talking about strategy or the tech side of stuff.
Right.
It's so much more interesting.
Absolutely. Backing up just a little bit, can you tell us about your childhood and how did that lead you to where you are now?
Definitely. Such a good question. As a child, I was very, very creative. I was also technically minded, but I downplayed that because everybody I encountered would tell me, you're an artist. You're an artist. You're an artist. And so, like, I enjoyed working with computers. In fact, whenever our home computer would break down, I would generally be the one to fix it, even when I was as young as 10. I just like I could read the technology side of thing, and I had very good intuition when it came to fixing technological stuff and figuring it out. But I was very blonde. I developed early. I was like, everyone was like, you know, you're this very cliche girl who's an artist. And I very much took on that, not that persona, but I took on board those comments. Mm. And that is how I saw myself and only. And so I had a guidance counselor send me a report back saying, based on your recent meeting and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all the forms you filled out, you're going to be an artist. And I was like, I never even went to that meeting. I never filled out any forms. What? Maybe they were just getting ahead of the game and pre-filling out what they were assumed people were going to be. But yeah, I held myself back and I never did like computer studies beyond what I had to do. I focused on my art, and it wasn't until I had a chance re-encounter with a friend who said she was in the Air Force Cadets, which was a group where they don't train you to be in the Air Force, but they certainly train you in things relating to the Air Force, and they hope that you eventually join the Defence Force in Australia. And so I started doing that as well to sort of complement the artistic side of me, and I randomly decided that I was going to be an Air Force jet pilot.
Wow.
Cool.
Yeah. Very cool.
I didn't actually read too far into it. I didn't find out that I was too short.
Oh.
Until I'd already committed to doing a 2 years of year 12 to accommodate all my artistic classes, because I didn't want to drop those, because that was where I found my passion, as well as all of the technical classes I needed to become an Air Force pilot. So, and wow. I did 2 years of year 12 to do, yeah, physics and chemistry and maths and everything, plus art and media and English and all those sides of things. So, like, even then, it, like, part of me, like, did not want to, like, I definitely saw and appreciated that I was an artist, and I still am an artist, and I still draw for fun these days. But I knew that I had the capacity for more, even though I'm too short to be an Air Force pilot. Yeah. And so, like, I as I grew up, I did start to recognize that there was, you know, I had more to give, I had more potential, and I could, like, you know, I could focus on the tech side of things as well. And that's certainly what came out and what I ended up falling into in terms of the career choices I made. So I ended up working in the fitness industry for a while. That was in a leadership team. And then I ended up in the superannuation industry, which is the retirement finance industry here in Australia. And there I was also in a leadership position, but I was also fixing code and reading code for the systems that actually calculate benefits for members.
Wow.
And I was dealing with a lot of, like, high-end, very technical stuff there. So, and that was for about 7 years. So wow. I completely immersed myself in the technical side of my nature, and I didn't do anything relating to the art. And both points, like, when I was very young and I ignored the technical side of my nature, and then in my 20s when I ignored the artistic creative side of my nature, I felt very lost.
Right.
And I felt very unfulfilled, and I was not having any fun. And I felt, yeah, this real, like, shift in identity, and not in a good way. Yeah, with launching my own business and being at the front end of this business, which is about strategy, but where I also talk about bringing out your creativity, and I bring out my creativity in the way I present myself to my following, I feel like I finally actually meshed both sides of my personality and brought back in, you know, place where I feel like, you know, this is where I should be and this is what I should be doing. Yeah, and it only took me 34 years to figure it out.
That's actually not bad, to be honest, 34 years. Some people never figure
it
out.
I'm glad to hear that.
Some people never figure that out. So 34 is pretty good.
And I mean, like, it wasn't as a I had a very good childhood. I was very blessed. My siblings, my parents were all very, very close. In fact, the company that I was working for over the last few years is actually owned by my big sister. Mm. And so she's the CEO. And then my COO, so my manager, the chief operating officer, is my big brother.
Oh wow.
Yeah, we even had our younger brother working for the company at one point. I'm sure, like, there will be plans to pull him back in. but, yeah, like, we've each, like, played perfectly to our strengths. So I had the background that was appropriate for my evolving position there. My brother was an accountant, and my sister has always been the entertainer and the entrepreneur from, you know, toddler age. So it's been amazing to actually work with them. And as children, we've all played very similar roles. But I think as the third child, I definitely did let the entertainer side of me and, you know, the desire to play big, I definitely did dampen that down because I was that, you know, the third child. And yeah, I definitely got that that nudge to be a little bit quieter sometimes.
Hmm. Yeah, and isn't it interesting, you know, when you were talking about how for a little while you kind of turned your back on the more technical side, and so many of us do that when we're younger to be more accepted. And it really kind of hurts when you're turning your back on a part of yourself. And I love that now you're able to fully step into it, embrace all parts of you. And
yes,
and be your authentic self. I think that's great.
Yeah, and it's been a hard journey. Like I didn't even recognize that any of this was actually like being purposely played out by myself. Like I always was like, woe is me if something happened, or if I was in a job that I wasn't feeling fulfilled at, or if relationships weren't going well, or life circumstances were popping up at me. I always thought that it was the outside influencing things, and I didn't realize that I had the power to actually make choices and choose exactly how I wanted things to lay out. And I could choose my perfect scenario, and I could choose to do everything that I loved at the same time. So I had a massive awakening and mindset journey over the last like year and a half or 2 years probably, where I actually started to focus on my mindset and actually like develop my intuition and my understanding of what I was consciously and unconsciously choosing into. And yeah, the entire game changed. So I think it could have definitely taken me another 10 years, 20 years, 30 years to figure out and actually be able to live into all that I can be if I hadn't actually started focusing on my mindset.
Yeah, well, and that's actually a great segue, because my next question for you was around, well, you have a very strong connection now to your spirituality, and how has this helped you in your business and your life in general?
Good question. I can't express how beneficial it's been to actually like tune in to my spirituality and to start on this massive journey. So I said already about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I started on my mindset. So I started actually like, you know, reading self-development books and like learning about the power of attraction and about, you know, vibrational energy and manifesting. And I definitely use that in my personal life, and I use that to start to head in the right direction in terms of actually letting all of my power out and doing what I wanted to do on a business and professional side of things as well. But then about 6 months ago, my best friend, she introduced me to crystals. Mm-hmm. So both she and I, we grew up with very, very, very Christian families. We actually, she and I met at church. We became best friends after falling for the same guy at a church camp. And then we sort of, you know, stopped going to church and found other things along the way, and we're really trying to figure out like what suited us perfectly, whether it's, you know, praying to God and not actually attending church, or whether there was, you know, more to different things. I still believe in God, mm-hmm. but I also believe in the power that this world has to provide us, and crystals being one of them. So she started telling me about crystals, and I was definitely curious because I've always struggled with anxiety, I suppose, not to a massive degree, but it definitely has hampered me at times. Mm. And also just about like intention setting. And so she was talking about how you can use crystals to hold your intentions for things, and also different crystals can help calm you down and amplify different things. And I was like, wow. I was like, this is so cool. I'd never even heard of this. And so I went to a crystal store, and as soon as I walked in, I was just like, wow, like I felt so settled.
Yeah, it's like, and oh, I felt like I'm home.
Yeah, and I felt like I could breathe properly for the first time in I couldn't remember how long. And I got I found a box at home where I had a whole bunch of crystals that I'd been given from my great aunts, and she was, and my mother, and they were like, these are gems, they're jewelry, you know. There was no, like, you know, suggestion that they actually had their own power or anything like that.
Right.
But I was like, that's so interesting that I've had crystals in my life and I just wasn't utilizing them. Like, there are actually some really beautiful pieces in there.
Oh, but wow.
What a nice find.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, it was so exciting. And probably like the main pieces that really made a massive impact for me was a howlet crystal, which helps with anxiety, and also my amethyst, which is just a, you know, a general, it's basically everything. It's all inclusive. When in doubt, amethyst.
Yeah. And they're so pretty. I love my amethyst.
So beautiful. And I've got quite a big one. And then my quartz as well, because obviously that's just all about amplifying everything. And then, yeah, from there, like, that was sort of the catalyst of my journey. Like, from crystals, I started discovering essential oils, which I find extremely beneficial. And I've got one that's called Spirit. And so when I was like having moments of like intense doubt or anxiety, and that was flaring up for me, like I started like actually like holding my howlet crystal and using the relevant essential oils. And I was like, wow, this is actually helping me. Like, this is actually like, rather than it becoming all consuming, it was just becoming a little niggle at the back of my mind that I was aware of, but I was moving through it. And from there, I was like, wow, you know, they definitely make a difference in my life. And like, I just recently went to my first meditation circle, which was incredible.
Oh,
and great. Like, I use incense now, and I use my sage, and it's made just like this massive impact on my personal life. And as well as looking to the stars. So at the start of the year, because I actually started reading my horoscopes late last year, and at the start of the year, I became aware that there was a super moon upon us, the Capricorn moon.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a Capricorn.
I am also.
So you might know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Where they were like, this is your opportunity to change everything.
Everything.
And they were like, this is your year, basically. You are, you know, you're going to power up in ways that, you know, it's going to be amazing. And they're like, and the decisions that you make with this super moon are going to flow for the next 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's like, I'd already started writing again because like I was in such a good space, like in terms of my mindset. I started writing again midway through last year, and it was just for my own enjoyment. I wasn't monetizing it. I wasn't starting a business or anything because I was still working at my main job, and I didn't want there to be any conflict of interest or misunderstandings. But, and I'd already like loosely set my New Year's resolutions for the year. But then come the 5th of January and the 6th of January, when the new moon was there, or the full moon rather, and I saw all this potential, and I was like, okay, wow, like what massive decisions could I be making? What do I actually even want? What do I want for the next year ahead? Like forgetting about what everybody else wants, forgetting about what is good for my partner, or, you know, not good for, but making decisions like on behalf of my partner and with my boss in mind, or with these other people in mind, or with my family in mind. What do I actually want? And I got a massive response that I wanted to actually show up in a big way with my own message. I wanted to reach millions. I wanted to be a speaker. I wanted to do podcast interviews. I wanted to like impact the world, and I wanted it to be a business. I didn't want to just be playing here. Mm. And like, it was like so like firm and crystal clear. This like, you know, response came back when I tuned in, and I was like, oh my goodness. So I took the leap and I sent an email off to my employer, and I was like, oh, this is what's coming up for me. I would like to explore this on the side, you know, can we do that? And I also had a big conversation with my husband. We were very I'm downplaying it. We were very disconnected, and something needed to change. And I was very worried about having a conversation and it going one way or the other. Like, I definitely thought that there were only a limited amount of options available to me. But I was like, you know what? I'm just going to throw caution to the wind. I'm going to trust my intuition that this needs to come out. And like, you know, I've got the stars backing me, sort of thing. And so I had the difficult conversation and I sent off the email, and then I waited. And my husband and I, we were like talked through everything, and we just came out the other side like in this incredible way that like I could never have even perceived was going to be possible. And with my employer, we ended up working out an arrangement where I could start my side business on the side and then scale back my employment with them to 4 days a week. Mm. And then it's continued developing just as it was predicted. And I'm actually, by the time this podcast airs, I'll have finished up with my main employer, and my side hustle, this Jessa Lewis, has gone main hustle, and I'm all in on that. And so, yeah, we're coming up to 6 months, and I'm like, wow, what is the next month going to bring? Because it is going to be amazing. I definitely look to the stars and to the moon and look at those readings in terms of what, you know, changes are going to come up with my business as well as my personal life. If I'm getting stressed out, like at the moment, I've got my incense burning and I've got like a beautiful candle going and I've got my salt lamp and I've got some crystals there just to help me like, you know, tune in and be present and be in the energy and the space that I want to be in for this interview. There's some really beautiful podcasts that I listen to as well as yours that give me some amazing tips that I utilize in my business. I was listening to one yesterday and she was talking about holding space.
Mm.
And beautiful. She was saying, yeah, she was like, every time before she has a client call, she takes a few minutes just to focus on the client and focus on their needs. And then when it starts, she says, you know, she begins with, how can I help you today? And what can I bring, you know, to you today? And I thought that's a really beautiful way to begin things, because I'm running from one thing to the other. I am sometimes like a few minutes late, though I have set the intention to be on time. this year and beyond. And sometimes, like, I will jump on and I'll be like, okay, blah, 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 blah. And, like, I'll just be so excited to, like, get all the things out and get the value to them that sometimes it's like we do need to just take a step back and be like, well, what do you need today? Because it might be maybe they don't want to talk, you know, about every piece of strategy under the sun. Like, maybe they want to talk about a different aspect of their business. And then at the end, she said that she will thank them for their time together, and then she'll close the conversation, close the container, and consciously disconnect energy. And I just thought that was, yeah, just a really beautiful way of, like, framing a client conversation that also, like, honors your own energy, their energy, and, like, each of your, you know, sacred spaces. So I think, like, a lot of these, a lot of different, like, goddess rituals or, you know, sacred space practices are so, like, important and can make a massive difference in the way you actually run your business, as well as obviously how you're managing your interactions in your personal life.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I totally agree with what you were just saying, what you had learned on that other podcast, because, yeah, it's so true. It's almost like it's really nice to almost treat things like a ceremony, like you were doing. It's like you have the incense, you have your crystals, and, you know, and that's, you're talking our language for sure, because we're all into that as well. And, even, you know, if Deb has a client call or I have a separate client call, like, I'm always in my head, you know, calling in my angels or my guides, please let this be productive. Please let me, you know, the information flow. And I always feel better. And it, when I don't do it, it really doesn't go as well as it does when I do call in that help. So I think it's really powerful.
And we have so much help that's available to us that we don't know about, or we choose not to tap into. And, like, whether you call it intuition or just impressions, or whether you recognize it as, you know, your spirit guides or your angels, like, telling you things and helping you read the situation better, like, either way, you can take that time to actually sit there and focus on what the other person needs without words being said.
And it
helps whether you're talking about things from a creative point of view or from a technical point of view. Either way, having that backing you makes a big difference.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So, Jessie, you have a really great community on social media. Tell us a bit about your Facebook group and your VIP membership group, because I think our listeners would love to hear about that.
Yeah, for sure. So I am very blessed. Though I don't necessarily like to say that, because I've been very intentional with the way I've set up my groups online. And I feel like I've been very deliberate with the people that I've called into those spaces. And so it is, like, an amazing community. And, like, it's just amazing energy in there. Like, it's a very beautiful space. And so I've got a free Facebook group, which is called Slay Social Media. And that's somewhere where I will try and add daily value. Certainly it's been difficult meeting those that with it being a side hustle, but, you know, moving into main hustle land, that's definitely going to be an intention that I will meet. But either way, weekly value that I add about, like, different things that are going on in the industry in terms of social media algorithms or platform changes or new features. I also bring in my VIP clients as well as other conscious leaders to lead mini masterminds in there every month. So that's something that we started off with recently, and, like, I'm aiming to have 2 free masterminds in there each month. And that's where they're bringing to the table their expertise and a little bit about how they've used social media to help bring about their authentic business. And then as well, like, basically every piece of paid content that I do for my VIP club, I like to take a little portion of that, like a little taster, and I like to use that to give value to my free group. So I find that that's a very easy way to add value into a free space. without feeling like that you have to be doing, putting out double the amount of things, like especially if you're short on time. And I do find that it helps time expand when you do things like that. And so like we'd get the pieces of value, tips, algorithm changes, and also just like general things, exclusive things that I don't necessarily post about on my biz page or my Instagram account. So yeah, that's definitely a great place to start out, especially if you've got a business and you want to know a little bit about the strategy, but you also want to use strategy in a way that complements you and your business. Yeah, great community to join. The VIP club, that is a monthly club, and it's also got a Facebook group. And that's where each month I focus on a different platform or a different area of online business, and we deep dive into all the different things that we can do to bring out extra value in that space. And I provide the resources, the trainings, the tutorials on that to my VIP club. So, for example, last month was the month of Facebook. We don't, we do other things as well, but that was certainly the focus point. And I was showing them how they can do additional optimizing on their Facebook page to get towards the maximum amount that you would be able to get of organic reach, how they can increase engagement and add value into Facebook groups. We also looked at custom making your own Facebook live stream frame, and also custom making your own Facebook augmented reality filter. So a pet peeve of mine is that Instagram has such beautiful filters. Like you can add sparkles to your face. You can smooth it out. You can add Kylie Jenner's lipstick. Like every woman knows about that. And then you go on Facebook and they're like, okay, here's like a shark that you can put on the side. And it's like, what? No, that's not what I want. I want to be beautified here because I haven't had time to do my makeup and
I'm tired. Exactly. Give a girl a filter.
Exactly. Absolutely. So the funny thing is that there are a whole lot of custom Facebook filters out there that people have created that are amazing, but you need the direct link for them. Facebook will only show you a very small sample, and it definitely prefers giving you its own or its where it's got people that it's worked with, collaborated with to create. So for my VIP club, I found 21 mainly beautifying ones, but also some just cool, quirky ones that I gave them the direct link for. And so with my free group, I've got to do a post and I'm going to give them like my top three, for example. And yeah, you can actually create your own. So I've now created my own Facebook AR filter that smooths out my face, makes my eyes slightly larger, my lips slightly larger, and it also puts crystals all around my head.
Oh my gosh, I love it.
Take that, Facebook.
Yes, I love that.
Oh my God, we need that. Yes.
Yeah. Well, the link for that is in the about section of my biz page. I think it's also in my my Linktree bio link on Insta and Facebook. Yeah, I was like, I need to share this with the people. And I think I'll also create one that's just going to figure out how to do makeup next. And then I'll just create like a simple beautifying one as well. Because like do these things like this, like not having a filter available, and if like me, you do get up in your head a bit about the way you look, mm-hmm. that can make the difference between you showing up or not. And then
right or feeling comfortable. I mean, you may still show up, but you're not going to be comfortable.
Yeah, and so it's not going to flow as well, and it's not going to be as like, you know, you're going to be focusing and up in your mind about your looks rather than actually like, you know, tuning in on the message that you need to give. And maybe some of our listeners are probably above that, and you know that doesn't bother them, and that's great. But it certainly bothers me.
We're with you. We're with you. Yeah. And we're in our 50s. It's like, you know, we're not the young things. I need a filter.
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes that is what makes the difference between showing up and giving people your message and not. And if you don't show up, then people can't hear you, and then it affects like the algorithm reach of your next post. And in a very real way, it affects your reach and your business presence online. Mm-hmm. So that's like why I like to bring some of those out and actually show people how to use them to benefit their businesses and just benefit themselves. And yeah, it definitely helps them play bigger online. So I think this month we're moving into, it will be the month prior once this airs. We're moving into Instagram, and then I believe the month that this podcast will air, we'll be focusing on Google and search engine optimization.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, really my great. VIP club, they generally are the ones that are like, this is what we want to learn next. And mm-hmm. yeah, something that can be quite a dry topic, I do try to bring a bit of life to it.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, and we have a lot of other like fun things that we do along the way as well. So yeah, one of which is that all my VIPs are doing like mini masterclasses in my group, which helps them reach a whole new spectrum of people that they wouldn't have otherwise had the chance to introduce their message to. And also, you know, helps like practice, you know, actually like delivering classes and stuff like that. So I like to throw them like random bonuses whenever.
Oh, that's great.
So if that wasn't enough that you do, you also do general consulting and speaking gigs. And yes. What else are you working on?
Oh, well, I'm actually going to be launching a podcast at the end of this month.
Wow, good for you.
So good, yeah. I can't wait because I love talking, in case you haven't noticed.
That's how this started. Carol and I said, how can we work together and just talk to people?
Yeah, we've been best friends for over 20 years, and we always, that was our joke. It's like, okay, well, we like to drink coffee or wine and chat. How do we make it a business?
How do we monetize this? Oh, I love that so much. That is perfect. That is perfect. Yeah, well, I'm going to be doing the podcast, so that'll be up and running when this airs. And I am going to be playing bigger on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. So at the moment I'm predominantly on Facebook and Instagram, but LinkedIn is definitely my next. And I'm on TikTok as well. Mm-hmm. I've one of my videos has just passed 30,000 views.
Oh, congratulations.
Which I'm pleased about. Yeah. It's a little bit of a silly video. But this is me just playing to my creative side and also the side of me that does like to do random weird things that I find amusing.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a video of me pretending that I can do magic. To some woo-woo music. I'm like, I'm elevating things basically. And then I used that. I downloaded and saved that video, and then I uploaded it on Facebook. And I was like, sometimes strategy can seem like magic, but it's not, and I'll give you all of the secrets in my VIP club.
I love it.
So, oh, that's awesome.
So I used something that just brought me great amusement and I enjoyed doing and is obviously getting me reach on a random platform that doesn't necessarily have my aligned clients on it. But hey, I'm sure some of them are there. And I used that and just brought in a bit of fun and a new dimension to how I was presenting my message on my traditional platforms. So I definitely think that's something that we should all try and do, whether it's, yeah, TikTok or other different things. What else is going on? I am working with a local women's outreach program.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm trying to get, I'm still getting the ball rolling on this, but basically I want women from all over the world to send in new journals and pens, as well as a letter with all of their favorite mantras and affirmations and words of empowerment to be able to give to women in need and women that are at a crossroads. Because I know that if I had never started on this mindset journey, if I'd never started journaling, mm-hmm. if I'd never become like aware of the power of mantras and affirmations and the possibility of, you know, actually empowering myself, none of this would have happened.
Right.
I would still be stuck in my own head doing my things, just like wasting my life and not fulfilling any of my true desires. And I'm aware so greatly of the power of mindset and actually like taking the time to journal. So that's why I wanted to actually start up that program. So yeah, once we've got a certain amount of the journals and the letters, then we'll be giving them out to the women that come through the center. And they're predominantly young women, I think between the ages of about 17 and 24 or thereabouts. Yeah. But there's more details about that on my website. Yeah.
I love that. That's great.
It's an amazing initiative, and that you're paying it forward and taking everything you learn to share with people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something that I definitely want to see becoming very big, if not a global movement, and people doing it in their areas as well, because we need to let other women know that, you know, they've got the power to make the change in their life. And we all do.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So before we wrap up, the really important question, back to Veronica Mars for a second. season one, were you Team Duncan or Team Logan?
Oh.
Do you remember season one?
Yes, but did they get together in season one?
Yes. Well, we didn't know at the end of season one. Somebody knocked on the door at the very end of season one, and we didn't know who it was. She answered the door and said, "I was hoping it would be you."
Oh, definitely, definitely Team Logan.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
And that's...
like at the very beginning when he was like, bashing her car and stuff.
He was a jerk. He was such a jerk.
Yeah, I was like, this guy is the worst. But yeah, as soon as she started helping him on his mum's case, then yeah. I was like, ooh, well, he's a bad boy, but he's like, you know,
he was misunderstood.
We're seeing his softer side. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm excited that it's coming back. It's actually on my calendar so that I don't forget.
Oh, do you have the date?
I think, yes, I do have the date. And it's Hulu. Hang on
Hulu,
one second.
Yes, I'm going to have to sign up to Hulu just for Veronica Mars. I've realized this.
I think it's...
I'm like, they are so smart.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. I think it's July 26th.
Okay. I haven't even written out... Oh, no, I have written out July in my calendar. I'm using this beautiful big, big calendar from My Goals. And it's like this massive, massive calendar that I can write out and leave on my desk. And
oh, nice.
It's helping me immensely with my organization and being on time, because I actually have the times that things start on there.
Yeah.
Whereas previously I've always been like, oh no, I'm never on time, or I'm, you know, not necessarily an organized person. But I'm like, no, dude, that's a choice. That is a choice.
Yes.
You just needed the tools to change that, and this is helping. So, okay, I'm writing it down. July 26th.
July 26th on Hulu.
Which could be the 27th for Jessica.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how that works.
And the 27th is a magical number for me.
Oh, good.
Good. Well, there you go.
There you go. Yeah. It must be the 27th in Australia.
Yeah. Yeah. Because everything I do, I generally end with a 7, and I particularly like the number 27. That is the day that I'm going to be launching my podcast this month.
Oh, yeah. I love it.
With my VIP club, I did a pre-launch where they got to jump in from the 27th, and they got a bonus if they did so. Mm. And yeah, everything's always...
Yeah, we're about the numbers,
angel
too.
Numbers and just, yeah, lucky numbers in general are definitely something that I like bringing into my business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, our number is 11, so we launched on 11/11.
Oh, that's perfect. That is so good.
It's so fun.
I do love 11/11.
Yeah, mm-hmm. it's a fun number. Well, it's been so fun talking to you. I could talk to you like for another hour more, but Jessa, thank you so much for joining us today. You are beautiful inside and out, and
yes.
I have had such a good time.
Thank you guys so much. And you too. This has been like an absolute pleasure had so much fun chatting to you guys.
Yes, this was a blast. We are going to put all your contact information in our show notes, but for everyone listening, you can check out Jessa on thisjessalewis.com. And from there, you can find her other endeavors. And as I said, we'll put, you know, the Facebook link and all of that in the show notes. And for everybody listening to the podcast, as always, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, our website, The Divine Breadcrumb, and as of last week, iHeartRadio. We're very excited. If you've liked the show, please subscribe, share the show, leave us a review. That just helps us be able to bring you more and more content. So we would really appreciate any help along those lines. And Jessa, again, thank you so much. This was so much fun. I learned a lot. And hopefully, you know, we can have you back on.
Yeah, when you launch your podcast, amazing. We can, yeah, exactly.
Oh, thank you. You guys could come on my podcast.
Oh, we'd
that
love
would
it.
Be a blast. We'd love it.
Love it.
Thank you guys so much. I had so much fun.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.